Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Pamela.
Hey, Pamela, it's Jane. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting at the L.A. airport getting ready to board a flight, but I thought I would catch a few minutes of the call.
Wow, where are you going?
Hawaii.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, yes.
Vacation or work?
A little both.
Okay.
A little of both. So have you had a good day?
You know, I've been really under the weather. I've got a terrible sore throat, so I've been in bed most of the day.
Oh, you had to figure out what you're pissed off about and you hadn't talked about.
Yeah, you know what? It's really weird. It really, really hurts to talk, and I don't know that I've ever had this much pain where it hurts to talk.
Well, who's made you mad?
What's making me mad?
Yes.
I don't know. I have to think about that.
Think about that. Normally a sore throat comes from being angry at something or somebody.
Yeah? Okay.
Yep.
Hello, it's Donna.
Hi, is anybody there?
Hi, it's Donna.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm in a class.
Pardon?
It's nice to have you back in the class.
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, good. Are you the only one on so far?
No.
I just dialed in. I don't know if anybody else is there or not.
Did I hear Pamela?
Yeah, you hear me. I'm sitting at L.A. I'm going to be boarding the plane in a minute, but I'm going to carry you through as long as I can.
So, Pamela, let me ask you. Did you notice anything different after we worked together?
Yes, I noticed a little bit of a shift.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Doing the exercises?
No, I haven't had time.
No?
I caught an airplane this morning, remember? So I have been on the move since 8 o'clock today.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, and Jane is on, too.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi, honey.
Hello.
Hi. How's your week been?
I'm sick. I got really sick on Saturday. It's really hard for me to talk. My throat is very, very swollen, and I've been congested. So that's what's going on with me.
Well, we won't make you talk too much.
Okay.
And Francine let me know that she was going to need to take a nap. She kind of hit a wall and needed to stop. So, Jean, are you there? Okay, well, I guess she's not here yet. But so if Pamela is still in the airport, do you want to check in, sweetie, and let us know what's going on? I know you're moving. I know you're going to a job interview, and everything is in a huge state of flux.
Yeah, no. Also, I did get the paperwork today that I did get the job in Dallas. So I passed the drug test.
We knew that.
Yep, so I'm going to put you all just mute you and go with you as long as I can.
Okay, that's awesome.
So, all right, girls.
Oh, take care, Pamela. Listening. You're a busy gal.
Isn't life good?
Life is good.
All right, girls. I love y'all, and I'll be listening until 5:30.
Okay, sweetie. Okay. And was that Jean? Is that Jean coming?
Yes, it's Jean.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How's everybody?
Well,
oh, good.
For me, I'm great. How's everybody else doing? We are all awesome.
Good. Awesome's fine.
Awesome is wonderful. So, okay. So I thought we would start with a check-in and see how everybody's doing. I'm home finally. It's nice to be here. And was I home last week? I don't even remember. Everything's
San Diego.
Such a blur.
We're in San Diego.
I thought. I was in San Diego, and it was really quite awesome, and it's great to be home. Really great to be home.
Good.
So
welcome
I don't
back.
Want to travel for a little while. It's getting old. So, what about you, Jean? Do you want to start?
Start with what? How things are?
Yeah, what's going on?
good, good. Actually, a great week.
Awesome.
I have unpacked more boxes. I can almost see my office now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And did you notice any shifts since you did you do the homework?
Yes, I did. Yes, a lot of releasing, some resistance, and some kind of feeling pissy one day, but then it lifted and okay.
Very cool. So, did you have any difficulties with anything? I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward, yes. I enjoyed blowing up the stuff in the box.
I know. <it's> fun, right?
I've become quite good at that, actually.
Yeah? And what difference has that made in your life?
I guess it feels like I have more control.
Yeah? And what are you noticing?
What am I noticing? Maybe more clearness, being more clear on, and focusing more on letting in what I do want than what I don't.
Yeah. Have you noticed? Are you judging yourself less?
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's good.
And then also taking the point where, or taking the all the challenges and what I look at as my so-called things that I don't want in my life. They look at them, thank them, and look at them as lessons, and thank them for what they have propelled me in towards the better and the good. So
you're looking at things from a different perspective.
Definitely.
Good. And what about the people that were responsible for your current situation?
Well, I also have come to the conclusion or acknowledge that no one else's fault except me. Everything that happens to me, I'm responsible, and I'm the one who has manifested it for some reason or another. So take responsibility.
That's awesome. You know, a few weeks or so ago, I don't know if you listen to my radio show, but I had Farhana Dalla on there, and she was, her husband left her for another woman when she had three small children, three or four.
Mm.
And you know, and of course, you know, she had a lot of inner turmoil, but what she did was, which was so interesting, is she took 100% responsibility for everything. And, you know, so in that way, there isn't any blame. And, you know, and as she would have these flashes of insight, these aha moments, she would call him and say, you know, I'm so sorry, I finally realized, you know, this was really my fault, and I didn't realize that I did this, you know. And she would call him with this stuff. Never once did he acknowledge any mistakes that he had made. Never once, you know. And but what was really interesting is that one day she got off the phone and she felt so relieved. She felt so awesome. And it was like there was nothing. It didn't matter whether he did or not. She was absolutely clear. And I thought, isn't that beautiful? You know, isn't that really amazing? And that's, I think, where we really need to be, because if we're taking 100% responsibility, the buck stops here, you know, and we're responsible. How we see things, we are, you know, and we can select our thoughts. So I think that's pretty amazing. So
it alleviates the victimhood and the woe is me and move on.
Yeah.
To greater
yeah.
and bigger things.
It's so easy when you're in a, you know, situation where you could perceive it as being victimized to really, you know, perceive it that way. You know, and this just totally says no. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. So yeah, that was that was pretty cool. So okay, do you have anything else you wanted to share, Miss Jean?
I met a wonderful gentleman on the weekend and did a seminar with him called Dr. Joe Dispenza, and
I've heard of him.
Changing your what was it called? Something about how to change. Well, it's basically changing your thoughts and how you can basically change yourself. That and we all know that it's just it's the same message just delivered in a little different manner. And he had some wonderful meditations to go along with it. So
beautiful.
Boy, there's going to be no stopping me when I get through all this.
Yeah, totally. So.
Big changes happening, I can feel.
Huge changes, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that it's happening so gracefully, I bet you can hardly remember how you were before.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's flowing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's interesting, too. It's sort of like childbirth. You know, you go through it and you don't remember all the pain.
Well, I never did that, so.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd grow up yet. So when I decide to grow up, I may think about children, but now it's too late. So there you go.
Well, you know what? I'm going to just say that there are many ways to have children.
Yes, there are. I'm a great aunt.
And I didn't even mean that. I mean creative projects that you're doing, that you're birthing.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, I got a lot of babies there. Yes, thank you.
Yes. So that's pretty awesome. Okay, Miss Donna.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I think I'm doing fine. Like I've noticed some shifts. I felt more peaceful about a lot of things.
Awesome.
And I still have challenges, so then I go back to using the tools, and I just keep doing that. And I think I'm feeling stronger somehow. Like
you feel stronger.
I think I do.
Yeah, and next week we're going to get into a whole different way of really getting into your strength in a different way.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll be working with awareness in a different way. So,
well,
that'll
I think,
be fun, too.
Yeah, and just by, was it Jean or Jane that was just talking?
That was Jean.
Jean.
Yeah, she was saying, you know, it's like a flood of things will come to you. It's almost like, you know, all the growth, you know, spiritual growth and all of the rest of it, I think, you know, the antennas are up and out and ready to take it all in, and things become clearer and clearer. And the same idea where I just feel like I'm anything that's on TV that is relating to that, like Dyer, you know, that kind of thing.
Wayne Dyer,
really,
yeah.
Interested in, yeah, those kinds of things. So I'm really in tune to them all and just trying to absorb everything that can possibly be absorbed that way.
So let me ask you, have you experienced any challenges?
Oh, yeah.
You're going through lots of changes as well.
Oh, I sure have experienced challenges.
Yeah.
I sure have.
But it sounds like you're moving through them.
Well, you know, it's all a learning curve. And
you think?
Yeah. And just it's everything is I'm beginning to believe that absolutely everything is a lesson, and even sometimes the hardest things are the best lessons, are the biggest lessons. But
right,
you know, and yeah, there's a lot of different things going on, but I do know that a part of me, since we had that conversation, that part of me feels a lot calmer about other things, and then I relate back to it and think, okay, I think that's part of the reason why. So
good.
I just listening to the idea of forgiveness, and I was watching a little bit of the View today, and the weather here has just been awful, rain. So you end up being in a little bit more. So, but anyway, we're talking about forgiveness, and one of the ladies on the View is Joy Behar. I don't know if anybody has heard of her or has watched her, but she was talking about when, you know, in her prior divorce, the way that she found it easy to get through everything was to just literally take total blame for everything herself.
That's 100% responsibility.
Yeah, and when she did that, although she did say, "I didn't tell him that."
I don't think Farhana did either.
but within herself, that's how she dealt with it and let it go. You know, so.
Awesome. That's really awesome. So, okay, and so is there anything else you want to share? Should we move on to Jane?
Yeah, I can move on, yeah.
We can't move on to Pamela. She has us on mute.
Yeah.
So, Jane, I know you don't want to talk too much. And one of the things you can do, sweetie, is there's something they have at Whole Foods called Singer's Saving Grace.
Okay.
Say it into your throat, and it just really makes your throat feel so much better, and it heals you very quickly.
Oh, Singer's Saving Grace.
Yeah. And the
okay,
other
thing, awesome. Thank
which,
you.
Which is going to make you feel ridiculous, but it really works. My grandmother taught me this, is if you take a wet washcloth, like a cold washcloth, and wrap it around your neck and then put a dry towel over it,
mm-hmm.
it pulls the heat out.
Mm, okay.
So anyway, that's my... And if you want afterwards, you can call me and I'll do some energy work on you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sweetie. So what did you notice?
Well, I really liked the thing that we did last week when we were talking about my mom. That just made me really more aware of things that I do and don't do based on that. And I really have started to pay more attention. I always feel like I can't pay any more attention to my self-talk than I do, but I have, and just really, you know, thinking when I'm thinking whatever it is I'm thinking about myself, kind of thinking, is that true or is that just really old programming? So that's kind of helped me to be free from feeling things that are just stemming from old, you know, old programming rather than what I'm really feeling about myself.
Good. So what have you noticed about yourself this week?
Well, not too much because my throat is about the only thing I've been able to notice because it's been so prevalent. I think one of the biggest things is just, and it doesn't really surprise me that I'm sick. I got sick over the weekend, and, you know, this was a week that I really needed to conquer the world, not stay in bed and not deal with it. So in a way, it doesn't surprise me that I'm sick because I just have always driven myself really, really hard. And so what I've noticed over the course of this year is that the driving myself that hard is just, it doesn't work. In addition to it not working, especially as a self-employed person, I think it shows up faster, whereas in corporate, if you drive yourself really hard, I haven't had a corporate job since 2003, but I was just thinking this week, when you drive yourself really hard in corporate, it actually does tend to show up because there are people that are noticing it. And, you know, everybody's probably had a corporate job at some point. They love that. You know, they love you just driving yourself into the ground to try and get to the next spot. But self-employment, and especially the way the world is working right now and running right now, it just really doesn't serve any purpose. So I've noticed that we're just really wanting to make a commitment to trying to stay in a better flow where I'm working with integrity, but I'm not driving myself so hard so that I don't feel all the bad feelings about myself that I have, and then additionally that I don't get sick. So, okay. And I really don't get sick a lot, but this is just a big blowout.
Well, I want to tell you that I used to get sick, emotionally. I would get totally psychosomatic. If I was going to an environment where I didn't feel comfortable, sore throat. If I had to do something that, you know, maybe had some elements of fear there for me, I'd get sick, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, sometimes there are, you know, there's some sort of payback in there, you know, because, you know, I got a lot. That's when I got love, was when I was sick. That's when I got I got nurtured. So, you know, that was another, you know, element in there. So I'm just throwing that out. I'm not saying that that's true for you. I'm just saying that that was my experience with it. You know, so what I do is whenever anything happens, I just kind of check in, like, you know, do I need this right now? What purpose is this serving?
Right.
And maybe you got sick to slow yourself down, and your body said, no, Jane, you're not going to work me this way.
Right.
You know, you want to look at what purpose is this serving, you know, and then you could also do that same formula of, you know, well, I got myself a sore throat because, and then, you know, you just make a list of your reasons. Mm-hmm. And you may find that there might be some limiting beliefs in there. I'm not saying there are, but I'm just saying, you know, that there leave no stone unturned. There is, you know, there is absolutely no limit to where this stuff can go. You know, you know, like, well, I couldn't have done anything because I'm sick. Well, let's take a look at that, you know.
Right.
From my own experience, because I know, I totally, every time I get sick, it's like, okay, what's this? And then I was I also wanted to say that, I don't know if you've listened to Joe Vitale's, I forget which program it is, it's maybe Awakening or something like that. He had like a 6-CD set. And he was talking about, you know, he had the belief, he was living in his car, but he was working with some sort of a mentor. And he had this belief, and he was working. He was making money, but he had this belief that money never lasted the month. And as hard as he worked, his money never lasted the month. So finally, he saw it, you know, because he just had his blinders on. He couldn't see it. So he created the belief that money came to him whether he worked or not. It came easily. And he didn't have to work hard for it. And, you know, guess what? That's been his situation since he did that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just also throwing that out. We really create so much of probably just about everything. Although I do believe also that there is totally an element of fate or karma or spiritual guidance in things, because spirit really does have a much broader view of things than we do. And we may want something, but it's always good to rather just say, I want this, or, you know, this is my desire, and this is what I'm going, and then set up your whole affirmations and reality creation to reflect that. It's always this or better, you know. And a lot of times I just hand the reins over to spirit and say, you take care of it.
Yeah.
You know better than me what I want, so you take care of it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've had to do the last several days, because I just, it's been really hard to work. And so I thought, well, I can sit here and tell myself something like that. Like, if I'm not working, then I won't be earning any money.
Yeah, it's hard when your work is with your voice. That's not.
I thought, well, that's just really a story I'm going to tell myself, so I'm just going to turn it over and trust that God will provide, because if what I need right now is just to rest and take care of myself, then I'm just going to believe that everything I need is going to come in anyway.
Awesome. Really, really good. So have you noticed, besides the sore throat, have you noticed anything, you know, working with the new tools?
Well, the thing with my mom, as I mentioned.
Right.
And that's all I can think of right now, but I am a little foggy.
I understand. Okay, sweetie pie. Well, I'll do a little bit of sharing. You know, I had a limiting belief about my radio show. And that belief was that I had to do it pre-recorded because I had no clue whether there was anybody out there actually listening. You know, would people write in and give me feedback, and I wasn't getting any. I did the first show, I got one email, and that was it. So I had absolutely no clue whether anybody was listening or not, but I decided I have one show that, you know, has callers, and that one is great, but that's already on a pre-established network where she has people calling in on a regular basis. So I didn't have that situation. But I was with Grandmother Parisha this week, and I said, would you be on my radio show, and can we try it live? So we did, and we had callers, and I got like 6 or 8 emails of people saying, we love your show, we always listen to it, but we love it so much better live. It's so exciting. I really love the fact that I could call in if I wanted to. And that made me feel so good. So I'm going to do my show live from now on. So,
good for you.
So, yeah, that's my excitement for the week. You know, and that really is so much less work. It really is. So, you know, it's just a matter of showing up. So it's going to be live for the most part from now on. So, okay, let's talk about energy. Did everybody understand, you know, all the stuff that we went over this week? We know about, you know, the energetic factors, you know, carrying other people's stuff.
I'm not sure.
Anybody
what
have any trouble with it?
Mary Beth, did you send out some information on this separately?
I did. Did you not get it?
I didn't get it.
Marbeth, I got tape one. I listened to your tape, and then I just discovered you had sent out part two.
There were 3 parts.
Okay, I didn't see 2 and 3, and not having the internet service this past week.
Okay.
And last
there's
week.
Parts,
so.
I sent them out with okay. You send it. But see, Donna, what I've been getting is that a lot of your emails come back. So what I'll do is I'll put the links to this up on Facebook, but we're going to go over all this stuff tonight. So
okay. I didn't get anything.
You didn't get anything?
Jean. Yeah. I
didn't
get anything.
Because I have the emails back from you send it. And I put everybody, what I'm going to do is I'll just post it on Facebook from now on, the
okay.
link from you send it. So
I got it, Marbeth. I got all 3 pieces, but I could not open them to save my life.
Really?
Yeah, it kept the little connecting wheel kept rolling and rolling and rolling, and then the farthest I ever got was it finally pulled up a page, but it was just blank. But I tried to send the link to myself through email. I tried to open it in a new window.
Okay, well, that's still good. Okay.
Nothing worked.
So nobody got this. Okay. And, I, you know, it's so funny because I tried to send it from San Diego, and the Internet was not working to do that. So then I did it when I came home, and I'm looking at part one, part two, and part three. So, okay, the first one was a meditation. I'll put the video, I'll do a video of it and put it up on YouTube. It's the breath of fire, and it's very easy. And then also what I sent was the, you're releasing your energy baggage, which is an MP3, and I'll put that up on a page, and I'll have my assistant put that up on the page, and that'll be easy. We can just access it that way.
Great.
Okay?
Okay.
So I'll get that set up tomorrow, and I'm so sorry. I didn't know. So the first thing is, are you carrying other people's baggage? And if you have any extra weight, is it a protective mechanism from other people's energy? So one of the ways to check is you can ask yourself, there are a couple of different ways here. And, you know, for people who are visual like Pamela, you know, this is a really good way to do it. If you imagine that there's an odometer in front of you that, you know, that's kind of like a needle that swings back and forth. So you could say that when it swings to the left, it's telling you no. Maybe you could imagine that there's a no there. And then when it swings to the right, it's a yes. And in the middle, it would be a maybe. But usually things are either yes or no. You know, it's very clear cut. So, you know, if you ask your body, is this mine, then, you know, the needle is going to swing to the left or the right, and that will give you the answer. So if you're experiencing, you're just noticing like, oh, I'm feeling so heavy now. I just, you know, feel lethargic. I don't want to move. I just don't feel good. First thing to ask is this mine? So you can either, you know, use that gauge. Now, for me, I'm more kinesthetic. Rather, I mean, for some things, I do get visual images, but I prefer to feel in my body. So what you could do is you could ask your body to tell you. You know, tell me, how are you going to tell me if I'm experiencing a yes? And then just kind of wait and see what your body does. And then you could ask your body to tell you how it's going to experience, how it's going to let you know that something is a no. So that never worked very well for me, but it might work for you. What works for me is a kind of muscle testing where I use my thumb and my forefinger in a circle. And I, you know, I loop them together so that they're touching. And then, you know, I put another finger in, like my other forefinger, in the middle of that circle. And then I use like a gentle pressure, and I ask, you know, is this a yes answer? And if it's yes for me, then that finger stays. It doesn't leave. But if it's a no, the fingers just part and the finger goes through. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
I can do a video if you have any issues with this.
You mean you're pulling on that to see if you can separate them, or you're
exactly?
Yeah. Okay.
So you don't do like a really hard pressure, but you know, just kind of a medium pressure.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, girls. Love y'all.
Bye, sweetie pie. Have a
good trip.
Thank you. Kisses, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Sending light. Okay. So here's the thing. You have the loop of your thumb and your forefinger. And then you could loop the other forefinger and thumb so that both they're looped together. Is everybody trying that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for me, if it's a yes, it stays strong. But if it's a no, it just separates really easily. So that may be the opposite for you. Everybody's different. And I'm just saying that there is no right or wrong, black or white. However your body is going to let you know, but your body doesn't lie. Your body knows. Is everybody able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, then you know, use the visual if that feels more comfortable too. So, okay, so the first thing is this mine? And so, you know, kind of check in your body and see. And Jane, you could even ask that about your sore throat. You could ask your body, actually you could even ask, is this actually a physical situation, or is there emotional cause for this? You know, and just see. I mean, to me, you can't ask enough questions, you know, because it's good information. And we know how to release stuff now. So, okay. So suppose you're checking out, you know, how you're feeling, and your body's telling you that what you're carrying isn't yours. So what do you do with it? Well, you could put it in the box and vaporize it. So that's one way. I ask Archangel Michael to help me out. And I imagine him with a net of golden mesh. And I would ask him to surround me and my entire auric field with a net of golden mesh. and I have him pull it right through my body and my auric field and surrounding any energy that isn't mine, and I ask him to take it to the light. And then I ask that the energy be transmuted into love and light and then return to fill up my body and auric field. And then I ask that he seal any holes or tears in my auric field with liquid golden light. So would you like to try that?
Yep.
Were you guys doing it as I said that? Because I'll go through it again.
Yeah, can you explain the thing you're doing with your hands again?
Yeah, that's a type of muscle testing. It's like, you know, I don't know if you've seen, you know, they'll do muscle testing when somebody holds their arm out.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and there is one caveat with this, is that, you know, our subconscious mind is powerful, and sometimes, you know, if somebody's doing muscle testing on you, things will actually go the way they believe, that it may not be actually true for you.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm just saying. So, okay. So if you have your thumb and your forefinger, and they're looped together, they're touching at the fingertip,
okay.
And then you take your other thumb and forefinger and you loop it over into the other one. So they're linked together.
Okay, yeah.
And so you're pulling against them. There's a little pressure there. But you could ask something like, you know, is my name Jane Gary? And if your name is Jane Gary, what does it do? What do your fingers do when you're putting pressure there? Do they stay strong or do they come apart?
Yeah, no, they stay strong.
Yeah, so that's your yes. And then you could ask yourself, well, is my name Donna McLeod? And what do?
And it kind of feels the same to me.
Well, put a little more pressure when you ask your name to start with.
Okay.
And ask your body to give you, actually, before you even start, say, you know, tell me what is yes, and then tell me what is no. And put a little pressure there and see.
And I'm trying to break my finger loops apart, right?
Yeah. But, okay. You know, you don't have to, like, really force anything. Just see what your body does. You know, give the power over to your body and say, show me what's yes and show me what's no.
Okay, I feel it a little.
Okay, but it didn't come apart. Well, your body may have another way of showing you. Were you able to visualize the indicator? The gauge?
What was that one again?
If you imagine you can close your eyes and imagine that there is like an odometer in front. Is it the odometer? You know, like the gas gauge. The speed. You know,
okay.
In the car. So it's a speed. You know, it's a dial where the needle would go from left to right.
Right.
So on the left, you could have like a no. There, and on the right, you could have a yes. And then you ask, you know, show me, you know, is this true? You know, is my name Jane? And then, you know, see what the needle does.
Okay.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay, now ask it a no question. You know, something that you know or that maybe you're not sure of.
Okay, that seems to work better.
Good. And see, that's what I wanted to do, is to offer alternatives, because everybody perceives energy differently. And we are energy. That's what we are. I mean, this whole universe is energy. But we seem like we're solid forms. We're just, you know, we're patterns. We're created out of patterns of light and information. And that's really, you know, how we how we're made. But we just appear to have these solid bodies. So what we're doing this week, and I know it's new for many of you, is to really look at what are the energetic causes of what I'm feeling. So the first thing is, you know, what I'm feeling, is it mine? You could even ask that about your sore throat. Because it may not even be yours. So has everybody found a way of connecting with their body? Mm-hmm. We're in the land of woo-woo.
Trying to figure out which one works better. I think it's going to take some practice.
Yes, I know. And that, I really did send it to you guys on Tuesday. I'm so sorry that it didn't work. So just know. And I'm going to talk to Michelle tomorrow and see if she can't set everything up on pages for me so that you can access this yourself. It'll be easy. I think that would be the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
So we'll get this set up, especially, you know, I want things like for every week, and you'll be able to have the homework. So we'll work on that tomorrow. So, okay. So if you have, has anybody discovered that they're carrying somebody else's stuff?
I have on occasion, yes.
Yeah, but right now, are you feeling it? Yeah.
Not so much right now.
Okay. Jane, I kind of feel like you might be.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to ask Archangel Michael. And the thing about angels, we'll talk a little bit more about angels. We can get into them in greater depth if you like. I love to work with angels. And I had an experience several years ago because I really wasn't sure that they actually existed. I wasn't sure if they were mythological. And it was when I was going through my Reiki master training. And, you know, people, you know, we would invoke them, we'd call them in. And, you know, some of the people in my class would be able to say, oh, you know, I can really feel this one or that one. And I had no idea. I wasn't feeling it. So I had a book. I had Doreen Virtue's book, Archangels and Ascended Masters. And, you know, I invoked. It was the night of a full, of the new moon, and I invoked, I think, 17. You know, I just invoked everybody, you know. And then I went into a very, very deep sleep. In fact, I was supposed to have I was doing a practicum, and every week my friend and I would get together. She showed up at my house. I'd overslept, and I just had barely enough time to get my clothes on. You know, want to get a bite of an apple, that was it. And she took one look at me and she said, I better work on you first. And I was just feeling kind of, you know, just very, very deep sleep, which was all very unusual because I don't usually have that experience. And when she worked on me, I felt so much love coursing through my body. And what I realized afterwards is the angels were prepping me. They were raising my vibration so that I would be able to perceive them. And so then I put my hands on her. She, you know, she was down on the table, and I was, you know, feeling, as soon as I put my hands on her, my elbows got squished into my side, and the room got thick with all these beings. And I just said, who's here? And I saw wings behind my eyelids, and I was like, oh my God, they actually came. I was so excited, you know, and I almost shook her to say, guess who's here? But I didn't, you know. I went through the whole Reiki process, and on my right side, I felt this enormous, very, very masculine presence, and huge, you know. I would say, you know, probably 8 feet high at least, huge, and very, I mean, the masculine energy that was coming off of that, you know, I was like almost fanning myself. It was like really incredible. And I didn't know who that was. You know, I thought, well, maybe it's Apollo. I didn't realize it was Archangel Michael until, you know, I did some research. You know, who is this? It was Michael. And so I worked on her, and I turned her over, and Kuan Ying showed up, who was a kind of the Chinese version of Mother Mary. And when, as soon as I finished, she shot up and said, this room was so crowded. Who was here? It was the angels that came. So it was, you know, so I know that they exist. And that was very purposeful because now I actually had an experience a few weeks after that where I needed to know that they existed. And I had no doubt as soon as I called them, they were there. And that is the truth about angels. You can, you may not perceive them, you may not see them or feel them, but when you call on them, they are there. And every one of us has like 868 angels.
Wow.
800, and it's like, I think that's the number. It's very close to that. It's like 868 angels. And they have the ability to bilocate. So if you're calling Archangel Michael to help you, and somebody else is calling him, and, you know, thousands of people are calling Archangel Michael, he's with everyone. And I'm telling you, it's really amazing. So what I do is I ask Archangel Michael to come, and he has a net of golden mesh. And I ask him to surround me and my whole aura with a net of golden mesh, you know, pure gold. And I ask him to pull it through my body and my aura and to surround any energy that isn't mine and to take it into the light. And then, once it's there, I ask that that energy be transmuted, to be changed into pure love and light, and that be returned to fill up my whole body and my whole auric field. And I ask that he, if there are any holes or tears in my aura, that he can seal them with liquid golden light. I will send this out to you guys again, I promise. And you always have, you know, the ability. Have you gotten the audios, the recordings?
On which, though? On this or on another thing?
I've been sending those by email as well.
The first two.
You didn't get anything for this week?
No.
I did.
Oh.
I think I posted it up on Facebook.
Okay.
I'll check
the link there. So hopefully, you know, check it out and let me know. Because, I mean, I have the password, so, you know, I may not have had difficulty with it. But anyway, so does anybody have any questions on Archangel Michael as a means of clearing out, you know, any stuff that's not yours?
Is Archangel Michael the main...
Yeah, he's the
strongest.
He's the one who's the head of all the angels.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just, he's just pure love, and he carries a sword, and that's the other thing that we use, is that very often our energy gets entangled with other people. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
And very often it's important to just, as a regular basis, to cut, ask him, or you can cut, you know, yourself, to cut any cords or threads or tentacles that might be connecting you energetically to somebody. You know, you may want to be connected to them. You know, it might be your kid, might be your spouse, but it's really important to cut the cords energetically at least once a day. It's really important to do that, so that you have your own space. You have your own space. Does that make sense? I know this is new territory for a lot of people, and you're thinking, this is really weird.
What do you mean by your own space? Like that it makes you stronger? You have your own space?
Well, when you're connected to somebody else, you're actually picking up their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also be draining you energetically.
Okay.
So I'm not saying, you know, that people are bad. Nobody is going to mean to do that. But you have to find a way of disconnecting energetically from people. And this is a very easy way to do it. So, you know, for example, you know, like you may have children that, or, you know, or a loved one, or your dog, or your cat, you know, or somebody, I'm saying somebody, for, because animals are people, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important to just cut those cords. They will reattach if they're supposed to. And you think about somebody, you know, you feel them thinking about you, boop, you're connected. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that, that Archangel Michael can do, we'll talk first, does everybody know what your chakras are? We have energy centers. That we have seven main ones. That the first one is around your perineum, and the next one is around the level of, I'm talking like, you know, there's different schools of this, but I subscribe to the yogic school, so the second one, it's just a little bit higher, you know, it's sort of like probably around maybe the level of your ovaries or your uterus around there. And then the next one would be your solar plexus. And each one of these has a color. So the first chakra would be red, and that actually controls security. It controls tribal situations and, you know, your ancestors, you know, ancestral patterns and stuff. So it has to do, like, with money, security, ancestral patterns, basically. I'm just giving you a very brief rundown. The second one is orange, and that is the chakra that controls creativity. And we're actually going to get more into this next week as we really get into the body and use the body as a navigation tool and at greater depth to become much more powerful and learn how to create differently. Very, very interesting. So the third chakra is gold, and that is your solar plexus. This is the home of your will. So the three lower chakras are all about creating. The fourth one is the heart. The color is green. And it's not the heart, the organ. It's the space around the heart. And this is how we connect to our source energy. The heart field is the magnetic field of the heart is 5,000 times stronger than the brain, than the magnetic field of the brain. Very, very powerful. And this is the divider between the upper and the lower chakras. And above the heart, there's the throat chakra, which has to do with communication and creativity as well. And that is a very complex chakra. It has many, many chakras. I guess even like chambers inside of it. And then the third eye, which is about intuition. Oh, the throat chakra is aquamarine blue. The third eye is indigo blue. And that's between the eyebrows. The crown is the seventh chakra, and that's violet. And that's your connection to higher realms. Does that make sense? Is everybody clear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know this is new stuff for a lot of people, but it's important to get a really good overview of what is actually happening here. So sometimes when we're carrying other people's stuff, it actually goes right into our energy field. Or it could be our energy field expands beyond the body, maybe 2 or 3 feet around you. You have this energy, that's your aura. We also have the energy body. So there's lots of place where energy can get stuck. And energy can get stuck in a lot of different ways. We're going to learn how to, it's going to be somewhat rudimentary, but we'll also get into relationships next week. And, you know, let me know. I want to know if you guys are understanding. Stop me anytime if you need me to, if you need to ask a question. So if you're carrying other people's baggage, if you're putting on weight to protect yourself from other people, one of the first things you do is you clear. So you're going to learn how to also to clear your space. You can do this physically by burning sage or incense. The white sage is particularly nice, and you can buy bundles of sage at metaphysical stores, or if you're out west, they sell them, you know, how the Native Americans sell them. Burn the sage and make sure you get into the corners and really clear the space, because spirits don't like it and they will leave, and it will clear out older energy. You can also burn incense, or you can ask the angels to clear the space for you. Now, I have found that in communicating with angels and just with communicating with in general, that it's important to raise your vibration to a higher level so that things work better. You know, you can create faster, you're in alignment with source energy, and you're more connected with the higher realms, like the angels. So you can ask the angels to clear space for you. Now, I'm very sensitive to energy, and if I go to a place, if I'm going to be in a crowded situation, very often I'll just clear it. I'll get a little, like my body will let me know. I'm clairsentient, which my body will tell me before I go somewhere that I need to, it's not safe for me, you know, like it's like overload. I'll clear the energy. I will clear the energy. I'll ask the angels to go in. I do matrix energetics now. But a lot of this is just your intention to visualize that everything is clean and clear before you go in. If you're sensitive to energy. And in your space at home, I studied pranic healing. What they do is they have bowls of sea salt in water, and they don't even touch you when they're working on you. All they do is they clean with your hands, and they throw the energy into the bowl of salt water, and then when they feel that it's finished, they flush it down the toilet, you know. So that's the end of that energy, because everything is energy. So you could spray yourself with rose water or use lavender essential oils. You can also use music. You know, for example, the chant Om is very powerful, and you could play a CD. You don't even have to put any volume on at all. It'll clear the space. So I don't know. Is anybody having any questions about what I'm saying?
Hope makes sense to me.
Good. Well, you've done some work in with energy.
Yes.
I know. So I don't know that anybody else here has. So, you know, I know that this could seem, you know, kind of weird, a little woo-woo or a lot woo-woo. But
I get it, though. I understand it. I mean, I've never used all of that. I have used in my mind when I felt that something wasn't quite right, or that I was in some kind of danger, or just my gut feeling, and I didn't even know why.
Yes.
Then I might do a prayer or, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, you can ask the angels to help you, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 868 of them.
Amazing.
And you just, they because of free will, they will not interfere unless occasionally in a life or death situation. However, they are there and they are more than happy. They are just pure love and they are more than happy to help you. And there are archangels. There's one that Archangel Shamuel is wonderful for relationships, and he is also wonderful for, new job opportunities. And Gabrielle is, every angel has the name of God in it. El is short for Elohim, which is God, name of God. And then each one, Michael is Mikael, it's Hebrew. And Mikael means who is like God. And Gabriel is the strength of God. Ariel is the angel of God. And let's see who else. Raphael is the healer of God. So you have all these wonderful angels. Those are particularly archangels that we have. And then they've never incarnated on Earth, except there are two exceptions. One is Metatron, who is, I won't say the founder, but he's really the guardian, I would say, of the sacred geometry. That would be Archangel Metatron, and then Sandalphon. So one of them was Elijah the prophet, and the other one was, I don't remember who. But they both went up in fiery wheels, in chariots. So, they evidently did not transition, but they went themselves. So they are there to help us, and it's really good to clear your space. About 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't even realize. I mean, I knew these tools, but I didn't, I didn't always think to do it. And we were traveling. We went to the Alabama Country Music Hall of Fame, if you can believe it. And staying in a motel with two cats, in a hotel motel room with two cats, and one cat yowled all night long the first night. Well, the reason she was yowling, I didn't even think, I was tired, was that there was stuff in the room, basically. And so had I cleared it, we would have, I would have been able to sleep. But, and I just wasn't watching out for myself. I didn't, I wasn't aware of it. You can clear a space before you even go there. You're going to stay in a hotel. You don't know who stayed there before, but, the energy might be kind of old and static, so you clear it. You can clear it energetically, just clear that space. And the reason that I'm saying this is very often there's so many people on the planet now. If you looked 100 years ago, there would be like a flat line. If you're looking at a graph along the bottom, might have gone up a little bit, like every century, you'd see it going up a little bit, and then the last 100 years, it shot up, straight up, basically. So there are so many people on the planet that you might even be thinking somebody else's thoughts. We really are interconnected with each other. So anyway, so how do you protect yourself from other people's energy? And I'm going to give you some techniques. I don't use these anymore. I just clear. I'm just constantly clearing them when I work with people. I have my ways just to clear the energy, because I don't really want to take other people's stuff on. Sometimes if I'm going to work with somebody and they're in a particular frame of mind or something, I feel it, and I start acting that way. So it's not always pretty, but I'm aware of it. And again, I always ask, is this mine? Oh, no? Okay. Well, let's see, whose is it? And let's send them some blessings, but I don't want this, and I'll send it away. So one of the ways that you can surround yourself with protection is to put your, imagine yourself, and these are for people, you know, who really are very sensitive to energy. If you're not, you may not even want to even address this. One of them is to imagine yourself surrounded, you're inside in a disco ball. So it's got all the mirrors on the outside, and it is going to reflect everything but love. The only love is allowed to flow through it freely. So you're in this protective, invisible, disco ball, and everything else is reflected back. So so that's one thing you can do. You can even ask the angels to surround your house, your bedroom, your car, and you need to renew that about every 12 hours or so. But if you're in a situation you're not feeling safe, bring in your angels. They are there for you. And so, does anybody have any questions about this? Okay. Well, I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. What are you feeling? What are you seeing? What are you thinking about this?
See, I never get into a vehicle without asking my travel angels to surround the car and the white light and protect me. And I visualize that it's like a big iridescent dome around my car and keeps me and my vehicle and those I share the road with safe. And it's very reassuring.
Yeah. And have you noticed a difference since you were doing it?
Well, yes, because I was involved in a head-on collision in 2000, and it took me a long time to get over getting back into a vehicle. So that certainly helped.
That's good.
Working with the angels has helped immensely with that.
Yeah, and one of the other things, I sent you an article called, it's something I'd written. I was writing a book several years ago called and this chapter 4, it's called The Unconscious Empath, and it's not your stuff. So, I just want to read a little bit to you, and you'll have this as well. Since empaths are feeling people, can often feel someone else's emotional baggage and stress, we've been known to inadvertently take that baggage and stress upon ourselves. You can see where this could lead to some challenges and intense learning experiences. As we have the capacity to hold other people's emotion, stress, and trauma in our bodies and energy fields, often without knowing it. This additional stress can create illness and great comfort. So I'm going to tell you, I have a woman who's now a friend of mine, but she came to me as a client, and she is a teacher. She teaches in a magnet school, and she's brilliant. She has several students who have earned silver medals in national competition. She was named Teacher of the Year, I forget by whom, but it was like getting, getting an Oscar, really, in her field. But she came to me, and she was overweight. She was having heart palpitations. She wasn't sleeping, and the whole environment in her school was horrendous. And her principal had totally was subverting her. She had tried to apply to another job that was totally sabotaged, and so she didn't feel like she really had any power there. And she was very sensitive to energy. So I worked with her, and I was showing her how to clear the energy, how to clear these different spaces, how to protect herself. And so she's a whole different person today. She's really gotten into this at great depth, and she's very much in her own power now, and there's no issue at all at work. She comes home, and instead of being absolutely exhausted and drained and not able to talk to anybody, she has energy, and she's now taking on her own clients. So I'm just saying that this stuff can be really important to you. So that's why it's just the third part of the clearing. That's why it's so important. So if you're an empath, you may be stressed or sick from carrying other people's emotional and physical burdens. It's very possible that the headache, stress, or emotions you're carrying, that you've been experiencing, aren't yours. And even if they are, they could be caused by the stress of carrying other people's stuff. You may be very sensitive to the energy in your environment. If people in a room are needy or experiencing stress or strong emotions, and you walk into that environment, you may find yourself feeling overwhelmed, panicky, drained, or otherwise affected. And, you know, so I didn't know that I was an empath until just a few years ago. I didn't know what an empath was. I thought I was feeling my own angst, and there sure seemed to be an awful lot of it. Often, in a large group of people, I would feel uncomfortable, sick, panicky, or have difficulty breathing. I had trouble sometimes in other people's homes. I couldn't stay in other people's homes. Could not stay. You know, even now, I'm very wary about it. I will, you know, even like with my kids, I feel much more comfortable in my own space just mm-hmm. because of the energy. So mm-hmm. if I spent the night, I couldn't sleep, and I frequently had asthma attacks. And only recently did I discover that I had a very special gift that I could use to benefit myself and others. I wrote this several years ago. So now I'm comfortable in situations that would once have created stress and illness. An empath is sensitive to and often carries other people's stuff, their stress, their guilt, their fears, their trauma. We take it on unconsciously, inadvertently. With that stuff come physical symptoms as our bodies try to cope with the extra burden to our system. Being an empath is a divine gift, a wonderful gift when you understand it and know how to use it. It did not come with an operating manual, and I had to learn about being an empath on my own the hard way. So this is how I figured out that I was an empath. So a few years back, I hugged a massage therapist at a spa, and the next day I felt depressed, which was not one of my usual emotions. And I heard my friends talk about picking up someone else's stuff. I decided to explore the possibility by muscle testing myself to see whether the depression was mine or someone else's. So there, you know, I used the muscle testing. It's a great way to communicate with your subconscious mind. When I realized that the depression wasn't mine, I mentally reviewed all the people I had contact with over the past couple of days. The muscle test indicated that depression belonged to the massage lady who had hugged me. That was where it had come from. I consciously released the emotion, and this is how I did that, is that I imagined myself pushing it out. I just, you know, I can do that as a physical act. I can imagine myself pushing that out, or you could put it in the box. But I just pushed it out, and I just asked the angels to take it to the light, and it was done. So it was the first time, this was an aha moment. It was the first time I was consciously aware of the whole process from start to finish. I had unconsciously taken someone else's baggage, and when I realized it, I was able to release it quickly and easily, and I could immediately feel the shift. This was a pivotal point in my life. What power! I could finally begin to control what I was feeling, and that was really huge for me. And, you know, and if any other of you are, and I know everybody is to some degree. So if you, you know, are feeling something, and I know, like, Pamela is much more visual, and I believe you are, Jane, so you may not actually be feeling it. So what we can do is actually, if you can imagine that you're looking at your body, that it's standing in front of you, and just kind of scan it. What do you see? You know, are there areas that are darker? Are there areas that are, you know, just kind of a different color? Those you can clear and put in the box. You don't, if you're not feeling it, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? I just want you to know that. We all perceive energy differently. Some people are primarily visual. Some of us are kinesthetic. Most people are kinesthetic. Most people feel. But that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you if you don't. I'm just letting you know that. Some people are auditory, and they hear things. Other people smell. I have a friend who came to my house, and I live in an apartment building, and we went downstairs, and she's like, why do I smell nail polish remover? Well, 6 months before that, there was a nail salon. 6 months before that, there was a nail salon. She smelled it, you know. So, and then other people taste it. That's gustatory, you know, way of perceiving energy. So I'm just throwing that out. So there's nothing wrong with you if you're not feeling it. Just, we'll just move it around a different way, get the visual of what's going on. And if that works for you, that's perfect. So my empathy began in babyhood. My mom suffered greatly at the hands of my emotionally abusive father. I loved my mom, felt her suffering because I'm kinesthetic, and I'm empathetic, and I wanted to help. So I took on what I could, and this unconscious decision at such a tender age was the source of the underlying sadness and pain I carried with me for most of my life. And it was only when I became aware of it within the last couple of years that I was finally able to let it go. And one of my clients, this is a really interesting situation. I'm calling her Lila. She had a similar experience. She was had devoted herself for years to helping others. And she came to see me because she was experiencing uncomfortable sensations in her body, and she was having this skin rash that was all over her body. And as we explored, you know, I'm intuitive, and I got the sense there was something with her mom. So we explored the energetic connection she had with her mother, and she realized spontaneously that she had taken on her mother's guilt and shame over a life-and-death emergency abortion her mother had when she was a baby. She was a baby when this happened. Her mother had never told her about the abortion,
wow.
And she had never shared it with anyone but the doctor, her husband, and her mother. And then she confirmed that it had indeed taken place. So she had been carrying her mother's guilt and shame for over 50 years. Can you imagine? I was carrying my mother's sadness for about probably around the same length of time. So then another time I spent Thanksgiving with a friend and his mom, and then I felt awful over the next few days. I had no energy. I was listless. I felt sad. But I'd forgotten to check in with myself to see if I'd taken on somebody else's baggage, and I had. I'd taken on the mom's, and when I realized that, I released it, and I was fine. So I just want you to be aware of this. I don't know, have any of you experienced this? Have you ever felt like you've been with somebody and then you just feel awful?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah.
What about you?
Drained, completely drained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is important because this will prevent that from happening. And especially, like Donna, if you're going to be using quantum touch, you know, in your work.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good to be aware. I don't know if what I noticed here in Florida, you know, when I've gone to visit people in the hospital, I've noticed that all the nurses there were very heavy, you know, extremely heavy. And I just felt like, you know, well, they're buffering themselves because energetically they need that buffer to protect them from the energy.
Interesting.
So when I experience someone else's emotional discomfort or physical pain, I ask myself, is this my stuff or is it someone else's? And I noticed working with my clients that many of them are empaths and they're straining their body resources under heavy emotional loads. As we worked together, I felt their sense of relief when they realized they've been carrying somebody else's emotional burden. And they could just release it. And that, you know, and for me, it's just glorious to see that how they could shift. They stepped into their own power and began to understand their gift. They learned how to set boundaries and to create a safe environment for themselves. So empaths are highly sensitive to the energy of other people and their surroundings. They are generally kinesthetic, although you don't have to be kinesthetic and take stuff on. You're just aware of it if you're kinesthetic in your body. You feel it. but you can check visually to see if you have stuff. So if you're kinesthetic, you're going to be, you know, predisposed to feeling and sensing in your body. And empaths may have difficulty setting boundaries in their relationship. Often they have suffered emotional, physical, or sexual abuse, but not necessarily, you know, this is just from what my experience and who I've worked with. They may find their energy is depleted when they're around certain people or environments. They may suffer from stress-related or psychosomatic illness. They may be highly intuitive. And many empaths are operating from a subconscious level and may be unaware, as I was, of their sensitivities. So, and then I just talked about my friend, you know, at the school. And so basically I have a little box here. It says you may be carrying someone else's stuff. If you have two or more of the following, if you feel things in your body, if you feel depleted around certain people or environments, if you feel uncomfortable around certain people or environments, if you find yourself getting sick or panicky after being around certain people or in areas where people are gathered, if you have difficulty setting your boundaries with other people, if you find yourself being agitated, feeling agitated before arriving at work, school, or for an appointment, that might be that you are clairsentient. If you've put on weight as a buffer between you and others, if you use phrases like, I have a handle on it, I have a sense of that feels uncomfortable, I had a feeling, etc. If you've had the history of emotional, physical, or sexual abuse, and if you can sense other presences. So, and then I mentioned, and the last one is, and I've changed people's names, these are not their real names. So I said, when I met Sophie, she was working at an architectural firm. Later, I discovered she had been a gifted Pilates instructor for many years. And although she loved Pilates, she'd been forced to change careers because of her sensitivity to other people's emotional states and her own lack of adequate boundaries. Carrying other people's stuff had proven to be too much of a burden for her, and she had moved into a less stressful work environment. I helped her set her personal boundaries, showed her how to clear her workspace and protect herself, and soon she was able to teach Pilates again without any further difficulties. So that is, you know, you will get that, you know. So I don't know, has this helped anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
Jean.
Okay, tell me.
It just makes it just a little more, I guess, bringing the awareness to the forefront, you know. As many times I walk into a place and you almost want to put your hands over your solar plexus, you know. you close your stance just to kind of, because it doesn't feel right. So that's
exactly.
I've done that too. I've actually walked into a room and it felt so strong that I've taken steps back.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want, like, it hit me in my solar plexus and it was so strong I walked back out.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So what about you, Jane?
Yeah, definitely. I felt before just, you know, icky around other people, just kind of sensitive to the energy that they're putting off. So I know sometimes that I can really absorb that. So I'm mindful of that.
And the thing is as you allow your body to show you and teach you, you'll become more aware of it. I want to just tell you this other example. A couple of years ago, I was playing, I like to play Mahjong, and a friend of mine, I was going over to her house. I'm a Kundalini yoga instructor. She's also a Kundalini yoga instructor. Her energy is great. I go over to her house. The energy was clear. So I was on my way over to her house, and my whole body started to buzz. And it was like I couldn't even stay in my body. I just felt so agitated. I felt so wired, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I just kind of attributed it to something else. I never stopped to think, Do I need to be aware of where I'm going? Is there something that isn't safe? That's the other thing I ask myself. Is it safe? Am I safe? Because initially, it's always safety first. You really want to make sure that you are safe. And, you know, and you want to make sure also, like in terms of boundaries, you know, number one comes ahead of all the other numbers. You have to really take care of yourself. So that's the other thing I wanted to say. And so anyway, so I get to her house, and there's a new woman there. And the next thing I knew, I had totally picked up her energy. Now, I had mentioned, you know, I had lost my sweetheart 3 years ago to a heart attack. This woman had lost her husband. And there was the opening where she could actually, her energy could get into me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to clear the energy and fix it beforehand than it is after. That may be a limiting belief, but this is my experience, that, you know, once it's in and you're drained, it's a lot easier to have taken care of it beforehand. So once I realized that I had to do some work, you know, I didn't want to leave right away. So that was interesting. So anyway, this is important stuff for you. And I will we'll figure out how to get it to you.
Good.
This energy is clearing, and you don't get overwhelmed with feelings and that kind of thing. But what if you have what's the difference between that and a premonition of an event happening, and it actually has it does happen?
Well, that means that you are clairvoyant. I don't know whether you just get the intuitive knowing, or do you get a visual? How does that come to you?
Oh, and it hasn't happened on a regular basis, but it has happened to me a few times, weird things like that. Like just before the tsunami happened way back, the big one, in the Philippines and Thailand and all of that, Phuket.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not even close to that area, but I remember the day when I was driving my son in the car, and I just had this overwhelming feeling of water. Well, there was no water around us. It was driving in the car. And I said to my son, Michael, it's just really weird. I feel like my eyes are filling up with water, and I feel that the water is coming up past the lights in the street.
Yeah.
And it's not a good feeling. And then that was when, I can't remember if it actually happened at that moment or within that day.
Yeah.
And,
no, I
and
know.
Weird things like there was a mini earthquake just in the Concord area where I was working. Before the earthquake happened, I've got, and I was on a second level tower within a plant floor atmosphere. My feet became electrified. I felt this burning electricity going through my feet, and I was talking to a client on the phone, and then my hands also became electrical, and I had to I was sitting in a chair, and I had to lift my feet off the floor because it was actually starting to hurt.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, then everything was shaking, and of course, the lady was, you know, getting very hysterical because she could feel the bit.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a quake.
You're intuitive and you're sensitive, and you have been working with energy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I know that too. You know, when the Haiti earthquake, I'm very connected to Haiti. I lived there off and on for 17 years. When that earthquake happened, I never watched the news. I don't want to put that energy into my consciousness.
Yeah.
But at 5 o'clock on January 12th, I sat down in front of my TV and I put on the evening news and I watched the earthquake happen in Haiti. So, and then another time there was an earthquake that happened in Washington, D.C. Same thing. I had somebody filming me and I just said, we have to stop a second. I'm just not feeling right. And that's when that earthquake happened. So, Yeah, you tune into things. You know, there we are all energy and we're all connected, and some of us are more sensitive to others. You know, and is there anything you can do? At that point, you're just receiving information.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think of you have an antenna out there, and other people may perceive it in a different way, or they may not perceive it at all. But it just, it is what it is, you know. It's just, you notice what you notice. There's no judgment. There's no, you know, nobody's better than anybody else. It just is.
No, it just happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very, very cool. So, okay, has anybody got any other questions? I'll get homework. Next week we are going to get into more energy. We will talk about relationships, and we will, you know, do some maybe some other kinds of releasing, and we may even do a little bit of soul retrieval.
Good.
Stuff. Huh?
Good.
A bit
of
what retrieval?
Soul retrieval.
Oh, soul retrieval. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's just, you know, a way that I work, and I think it'll be very cool. It's just a way of pulling parts of yourself back that may have left due to some a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll play with that a little bit. And, you know, if you have any questions, you know, let me know, and I'll get this information. I'll get Michelle on this tomorrow if she can, and I'll get as much as I can together for you as well. Okay, my ladies?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome.
Rebecca, are you going to do something for me for my throat?
I will.
We hang up and, okay.
Why don't you call me when we hang up?
Okay.
Okay, sweetie.
Sounds good. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Take care.